And the sermon for today is trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, is a very popular scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Didn't it say some heart? It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Brethren, this is a very powerful scripture. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You may believe in something, but you may not trust in that thing. But you believe in God, trust in him also. Trust in his word. Trust in his ability to deliver you. Trust in his ability to heal you. Trust in his ability to protect you. So our serving God is based on our trust in him, our belief in him, our faith in him, and our trust in his ability to perform. Hallelujah. If somebody does not trust you, no matter what you do, he doesn't care. But if somebody trusts you and you tell that person something, the person will do it. So if you trust in the Lord, everything he has said concerning your life, you should be able to do it because you trust him. Because what is happening is that it's not your ability, but ability of God that will make things happen for you in your life. During this coronavirus, they have put so many protocols, so many measures in place. Social distancing, they say 24 feet or 36 feet. I don't remember the anymore. Sometimes it's 6 feet, sometimes it's 10 feet, sometimes it's 12 feet. Wash your hands. Do it. They are all good. We must obey authority. Please don't think that because we serve the Lord, we're not supposed we must obey authority. If you don't obey authority, the enemy will use that against you. And before you realize you have caught the virus. Obey authority. Hallelujah. What the authority has put in place, obey. But our trust is not in that authority. Our trust is in the Lord, the name of the Lord. Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. But we must do what the government says we do. Jesus said, render unto Caesar's the things that are Caesar's. So we have to give the authority what they have said. But our trust is in the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, you are the righteous. You run into it and we are saved. Praise the Lord. So we must trust the Lord with all our hearts. We must not lean on our understanding. In all our ways, we must acknowledge him and he will direct our path. Direct our path. It's very important for you to come into understanding that if you don't trust him, it will be very difficult for you to follow his path. It will be very difficult for you to obey his word. It will be very difficult for you to act on his word if you don't trust him. That's why trust is critical. Even in relationship, I can't realize that in a marital relationship, if the wife does not trust the husband, it's a problem. If the husband does not trust the wife, it's a problem. How much God? So trust is key in our walk with the Lord. We must trust him whether it is good. We must trust him whether it's bad. We don't choose to trust him when it is good only. We don't choose to when it is bad. No, we must trust him at all times. Hallelujah. I have many people asking this simple question. So where is God in all this pandemic situation? People have been asking, where is God? In all this pandemic situation, the God that we serve, where is he? Did God cause this? Did God make this happen? Did God know that this was going to happen? If he knew, why did he not prevent it from happening? Is this pandemic God's judgment against a decaying world? A world full of abominable things and sins. Laws have been passed that tend to kind of undo what God has done. But it can never be. Now they are saying man can marry man, woman can marry woman. God did not create that way. It's an abomination in the sight of God. All this is happening in the world. So people are asking, is this coronavirus God's judgment? These are legitimate questions. And many in the world are seeking answers. But I came to announce here that God is still the same. He's seated upon the throne and he's still there. Whether it's coronavirus or no coronavirus, he is still God. Praise the Lord. And I was doing a little bit of research and I realized that about 100 years ago, almost exact 100 years ago, There was another pandemic, epidemic, called influenza. This is called the Spanish influenza. It happened in 1919. So this thing also started in what? 2019. So almost exactly what? A century ago, they have a similar situation. But that one was worse. It was called the Spanish influenza. It killed more than 50 million people. This one, it has only been reached 1 million. But see how the world has panicked. That influenza alone killed how many people? 50 million people throughout the world. But God was still God. And he's still God. So what is happening is it's nothing new. It's not something that has never happened before. It has happened before. But Christians, we know the God that we serve. So whether pandemic or no pandemic, our God still reigns. Hallelujah. Our God still reigns. So the same question people asked at that time, people are asking the same questions again. Where is God? Where is God in all this? The first answer that I have is that God is God. And he is still seated upon his throne. No matter what happens, no matter what happened before, no matter what is still happening, and no matter what will happen, God is still the same. He is still God. He never changes. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says that, "For I am the Lord God, I do not change." So nothing changes God. And nothing surprises him. Hallelujah. I will get to that in a second. He is still God. This thing happened 100 years ago. God was sitting upon the throne. 100 years later, it has happened again. God is still God. Hallelujah. And not everybody died. I've come to realize that the only time that total destruction of the world come about is during God's judgment. The devil can do what he can do, but the devil cannot destroy the whole world. I came to announce the devil has no power to destroy the whole world because God has the power to destroy the whole land, and it will happen on the judgment day. Praise the Lord. So that he can cause some of these messes here and there, but that's not the end of the world. Hallelujah. And that's the assurance we must have in the God that we serve. God is still sitting upon his throne no matter what happens. No matter what has happened, no matter what is still happening, for he changeth not. Praise the Lord. In other words, he is an unchangeable God. You may change, but God will not change. Situation may change, but God may not change. He is what? An unchangeable God. See, that is why you must trust in him. If God says this, he is this forever and ever. You will change. Man will change. Situation will change. The world will change. But God does not change. He's an unchangeable God. Like I said, the world may change. People may change. Situations may change. Circumstances may change. But our God is unchangeable. Hebrews chapter 18 verse 6 says, he is what? Still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's still the same. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Elijah. He's the God of Moses. He's the God of Peter, Paul, James. He's the God of Word of Languages. He's your God. He's the same yesterday as he was with Abraham. So he's with us. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he's a dependable God. God you can trust. God you can put your trust in. Here some people, sometimes they put their trust in their bank account. But your bank account may fail you. They put their trust in the ability of their government to provide. But your government may fail you. But God will not fail you. That is why you must trust him 100%. In fact, if there were 200% or 120%, you should trust 120%. Because he's a faithful God. Hallelujah. He never changes. What he has said, he will do it. He will perform it for his name's sake. The second question that many have been asking, did God make this thing happen? Or did God cause this pandemic as a punishment or is it a judgment for a decaying and immoral world or for the sins of the world? My candid answer, opinion, is no. It's not God who caused this pandemic to come. That's my candid answer. You may disagree, but I believe that God did not cause this. Hallelujah. The time for judgment has not come. When the judgment comes, we see the hand of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the other question is, did God know this was going to happen or did he take God by surprise? The answer is, yes. God knew it was going to happen. My Bible tells me God knows your end from the beginning. So that every step of the way, God knows you. He knows your steps. He even knows how many were hair on your head. So We serve such a God, so what can take him by surprise? God saw exactly. And the reason why probably this thing could have been worse is that God has placed an invitation upon the devil. The devil cannot go far. How do I know this? When I read from Job, God said, okay, I'm bragging about my servant Job. You want to touch him? Go ahead and touch him. But there's a limit. But you cannot take his life. You cannot destroy his life. You can do whatever you can do to Job, but you cannot take his life. I've not given that to you. Praise the Lord. So total judgment of the world and destroy the world is reserved for God only, Jehovah God only. And the time is not yet. Hallelujah. So did God make this happen? Did God know it was going to happen? Yes. First of all, God knew this was going to happen and also knows when this will end. The world, we are only speculating. The cancer has broken. Maybe it may end in a year's time. Maybe it may end in 2 years' time. Maybe we can get a vaccine by this time. Maybe. But God does not talk about maybe. God talks with certainty. God talks about because he knows exactly the day, the time, the hour. He knows where this thing started and he knows when it will end. That is why, believers, we must cry unto God. We must cry unto him that God will speed up the restoration. God will speed up the end of this virus on the face of the earth in the name of Jesus Christ. Human beings, our abilities are limited. Look at all the top scientists, the superpowers. They are all grappling with this small coronavirus. They don't have an answer. And now there's created so much fear. And as I was saying before, so much fear in the world. You know, planes are not flying. Even if you are flying, they are saying they are going to wear even face mask inside the plane. And they're going to be social distance inside the plane. I wonder how they are going to make up their money. It's a very terrible situation. But it doesn't surprise God. God knew exactly. But see, if the people of God can come together and pray and seek his face, there will be a divine intervention. Because the world doesn't have an answer. They don't know when it's going to end. They are only speculating. Only believers can cause God to act quickly and restore us back to where we were before. Because if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and seek my face, because I will hear their prayer. This is the time for war. I mean, war in the sense that Christians must war in the heavenlies to take control in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So God was not surprised by this. But one thing is that he has the power and the ability to change the situation. And he's the God who is everywhere at the same time. Hallelujah. When we begin to look at the attributes of God, it makes you trust him more and more and more. Because nobody, the devil himself, nobody has that attribute. Him alone has those attributes. And there are three important attributes I want to talk about. And that will make us trust him more. The first one is that he is what? An omniscient God. What does that mean? Omniscient God is an all-knowing what? God. God knows everything about you. Even before you were informed, your mother's womb, he knew you. Omniscient God. All-knowing God. So nothing takes God by surprise. The coronavirus did not take God by surprise. He knew maybe thousands or thousands of years before this coronavirus even raised its ugly head. Hallelujah. So it's omniscient God, being all-knowing God. All-knowing in the sense that he's aware of the past, he's aware of the present, and he's aware of the future. Why don't you want to trust such a God like that? All-knowing God. He knows your tomorrow. He knows your yesterday. He knows your today. He knows what's going to happen to you. Whether coronavirus is going to affect you or not, he knows it. Whether the virus will attempt to attack you, he knows it. But when we pray, when we trust him and pray, whatever move that the enemy makes will fail in Jesus' name. That is why we must trust him. When you trust God, it's not your trust your head only. Bible says trust with all your heart. Your heart is the real you. So if you can trust God with the heart, it's the real you that you are trusting God. Somebody trust God with their mind only. So sometimes when things are good, they trust God. But when things are bad, they don't and they question him. God is omniscient, meaning all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning. So while the world is struggling and strategizing, while the world is what? Struggling and strategizing when to end this pandemic, our God already knows when it will end. We have to pray that God will hasten up. We have to pray it will not prolong. Because when we pray, God will speed up for us. God will hasten up and put an end to it. The way he will do it, it's up to him. He can cause a strong wind to blow this verse from the face of earth. And before you realize, it started dropping. God is able. Let's trust him. He's able, more than able to do this abundantly. Because if you believe in him, praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in what? In every place. Keeping watch on the evil and the good. So all this coronavirus, God has already seen it. He saw it happening. And he's still looking at it. And this too shall pass. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 23 verse 24 says, can anyone hide himself from a secret place so that I, Jehovah God, cannot see him? Who can hide from God? That's why when you are a believer and you think you are doing something in secret, don't think God has not seen you. You cannot hide from God. Hallelujah. So whatever is going on, God knows it. He sees it. And by his own time, he acts. Hallelujah. And Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12. Psalm 139, 7 to 12. David said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I go under the world, you are there. If I go, you are there. Wherever I go, you are there. Where can I hide from you, God? So there's no place to hide in the presence of the Most High God. So he's everywhere, omniscient. He's everywhere. Hallelujah. I mean, omniscient, he's all-knowing. I mean, God is all-knowing. Praise the Lord. And God is also what? Omnipresence. That's my next point. He's what? Omnipresence. What does that mean? Omnipresence means God is capable of being everywhere at the same time. It is impossible for the devil to be like that. What the devil does, he relies on his demons to send a message. Because it was millions and trillions of demons all over the world. So they communicate to him. But God is everywhere, everywhere at the same time. We may be seeing God here. People in maybe London or other places may also see the same God there. He's what? Omnipresence. God is capable of being everywhere at the same time. It means that his divine presence encompasses the whole world or the universe. Nothing surprises him. And there's none that he doesn't see or know. Omnipresence. Omnipresence. He's everywhere at the same time. So if you trust a God like this, and you are traveling, Lord, I am traveling, I'm trusting you. God is already there where you are traveling. He's with you in the aircraft. He's everywhere. So if you say, Lord, I trust you, take me to my journey. Yes, it means that you believe in him and he will surely do it. Trust in the Lord and lean on, trust in him with all your heart and lean not in your understanding. Acknowledge him that you are God. Believe in him. Act on his word. Hallelujah. And shall always be well with you. Hallelujah. But the question is that since God knows everything and he's everywhere and has all the power, why didn't he not stop this pandemic from happening? Since God is everywhere, God knew that this thing was going to come in. And yet he has power. For the Bible says, all power belongs to what? God. So God has the ability to stop the devil, Satan, from maybe infecting the world with this coronavirus. But the question is, why did God not do it? Why did God not do it? So many a time Christians, when we face situation, we begin to ask questions. Oh God, why? Oh God, why? Why didn't you stop? Why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you stop this? But as I said before, nothing surprises God. He is God sitting upon the throne. He has the ability to change course. He has the ability to change history. But God, somewhere, somehow, allows things to happen. And for a reason. Praise the Lord. Whatever happens, Bible says we must what? Give glory to God. We must be thankful to him. Give thanks to him for all things. Many times we want to receive good things before we thank God. Whatever happens in your life, we thank God. Maybe we should God, we should thank you for the coronavirus. Because of the coronavirus, people have turned their hearts to Christ. We should thank God. Because of the coronavirus, maybe some marriages are now, they are now what? That become excellent. The marriage, the marriage has now become what? compact, inseparable. Before the coronavirus, many men were not even staying at home. Many women were not staying at home. But because of coronavirus, I was looking at a video, and the lady was saying, "Lord, I thank you for the coronavirus. My husband's at home. My husband, who hardly stays at home, now he's home. Now my marriage is the most beautiful right now. Lord, can you prolong this coronavirus?" See? So, I mean, Bible says in all things, we thank God. Hallelujah. So, if God is all-knowing and God has all the power, why did God not stop the pandemic from occurring? Now, I want us to look at a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. If you have your Bible, you can just open. 2 Timothy 3. Paul said, But know this. In the last days, perilous times will come. In the last days, perilous times will come. So what last days is Paul talking about? In the last days, perilous times will come. Destructive times will come. Dangerous times will come. In the last days. Someone will say, but are we in the last days? Yes, we are in the last days. Hallelujah. Yes, we are in the last days. Because the last days refers to the period that Christ went back to heaven and his second coming. Oh, so we are all in the last days. Every day is the last day. Nobody knows when he's going to show up. So every day, we are in the last days. So I say, in the last days, perilous times will come. And the last day, as I said, refers to the period that Christ's ascension into heaven and his coming back again. Perilous times are dangerous what? Times, including pandemic times. So Apostle Paul cautioned us. Say, in the last days, perilous times. So all this that happened, that's what I'm saying, 100 years ago, they have a similar situation called the Spanish flu, where 50 million people died. I'm sure they were. Since that time, we have had other pandemics or epidemics, Ebola, HIV, and the rest. They have all come, but yet to have passed. So I came to announce to you that this coronavirus shall also pass. But you shall live because you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It shall not touch you because the child of Most High God, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You have run into the name and you are saved. Before the pandemic, God had already spoken. That is why Psalm 91 has become the favorite psalm now. Because God has already spoken because of this pandemic. So you must trust in him and believe in his word. If God says, no plague shall come near your dwelling place, take it and run. Because he means it. He knows what he has done. That is why he went further to say, for I have what? Dispatched. I have assigned my holy angels to keep charge over you. Because God knew that perilous times are ahead. The enemy will move, will cause destruction, will cause damage. But God said, I got your back covered, as they say in America here. I got your back what? Covered. He's a faithful God that we can trust. A God that we can depend upon. Hallelujah. So, when Paul said perilous times are dangerous, perilous times shall come, he was talking about dangerous times, including what we experience right now. It can also mean maybe accidental nuclear discharge. God forbid. It can be anything. If it's not coronavirus, it may be flood. If it's not flood, it may be earthquake. If it's not earthquake, it may be something else. So we must all know that perilous times, we are in what? Perilous times. And that's why the Church of Jesus Christ must pray than ever before. Pray for covering. Pray for divine covering. Pray for divine protection. That when these things come, it shall not touch God's people. Hallelujah. If we look at the same scripture, the verse 2 explains, the verse 2, the same chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, the verse 2. The verse 2 explains why perilous times. And let's look at it carefully. Why perilous times? For Bible says, for men, it says, well, for men will be lovers of themselves. Hey. For men will be lovers of themselves. Women will be lovers of themselves. You know what I'm talking about. Men will be lovers of themselves. Women will love us and say, an abomination to in the sight of God. They'll be lovers of money. That they don't even care about the things of God. All that they care is about making money. Whether they kill or destroy, they care about what? Making money. Sometimes even using the Bible to deceive people, to make money. Killing to what? To make money. Lovers of money. They'll be proud. I am that. I am that. I am that. I am that. Blasphemous. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, all this is not happening in the present world now. Murderers, people are killing for money. They have a business contract, they see someone is undermining, they kill you. If it's a man of God resorting to juju, just for the gospel. God has seen this all. Perilous times. And when the enemy is capitalizing on this and bringing about a lot of trouble in the world. Hallelujah. And in verse 3, if you go to verse 3, he said they are having a form of godliness by denying its power. What does that mean? A form of godliness is an outward appearance of reverence for God, as if a form of godliness by denying power. What is the relationship that they have with God? It's not there. But when they come, they pretend. They preach some powerful, maybe sermons, demonstration. Come on, making that their God is their uncle. But what is beneath is totally different. Church, we are in the last days. And if there's any time in life, in your life, that you have to trust God, it is not now. Now. Trust Him. Trust that He will deliver you. Trust that He will protect you. Trust that He will cover you. Trust that so walk with Him. And trusting is not an empty slogan. Trust is by action. You in other words, if you say, oh, I have faith, but I have no one. Faith without action is what? Dead. Say, I mean, I have faith in God. I have faith in God. Yet, you disobey God's word. Yet, you refuse to act on God's word. So, what kind of faith are you talking about? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we need to understand that we are in the last days. And because of these perilous times, our trust in God must be absolute. We must, day by day, make that declaration, Lord, I might put my trust in you. Lord, I trust in you everything. You are my God. Whatever you say, oh Lord, I will do it. I will act on it and live it. Don't say it in only, but act on it. Live by what you read. Brethren, we are in, as I said, we are in a perilous times. And these things are bound to happen, okay, from time to time. And as I said earlier on, the last major pandemic happened about 100 years ago. And we also had the HIV. It came, everybody was scared to death, HIV. To the extent that sometimes even married couples, they were afraid to go near each other. Not knowing maybe what the other has done in secret. During the HIV time, people were scared. They didn't want to go near people who had the HIV. If someone is HIV positive, people were shunning them. They were moving away from them. That one, they didn't call social distancing. It was called secret distancing. Because people didn't want to get near people with HIVs, lest they were also infected. That too came and it passed. And now the Ebola came. And now every airplane or every aircraft coming from Africa was a suspect. Because the Ebola was coming from where? Africa. Therefore, they were able to identify it. That too came and passed. And now we all had coronavirus. COVID-19. These two shall also pass. And the reason why this thing has not done great devastating effect is that believers this time are praying and interceding. So the thing has slowed down. This thing that they will project will kill about maybe 200,000 by million and so on and so forth. Even in this country alone, it is not going there. Because the people of God are praying. We trust your God. Those who know their God, they can do exploits. When there's a mouth to pray, there's a ear to answer. God will hear, ear to hear, and a mouth to answer. Hallelujah. So we should never lose sight of who we are in the Lord. We are separate from the world. That is why we must trust in the God. The Bible says some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, some trust in juju or other powers, but those who know their God, we trust in the living God. We must be rest assured in Him and in His word. As for the Psalm 91, which we have always been talking about, Psalm 91 gives us great comfort and assurances. We know the God that we serve. Psalm 91 says, He's our what? Our refuge and our fortress. The God in whom we trust. The God in whom what? We trust. He's our refuge and our fortress. So if you believe that God is your refuge and your fortress, and you trust Him, He will save you. Hallelujah. And God made that bold declaration concerning your life. And every night, every day, please recite that. Say it to yourself. Lord, you said, you will never leave nor forsake me. Lord, you said, no evil shall befall me. You said, no place shall come to your dwelling place. So in other words, God has spoken. Trust in His word. Believe in His word. Those who serve other powers, they believe in the words of those other powers. We serve the living God. Why can't you believe and trust in the word that the living God has said concerning your life and concerning your situation? Psalm 23, the verse 4. And I love that. Psalm 23, verse 4. Say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. So when this pandemic is kind of wrecking death all around you, you are walking in that valley of death. People are dying, but God is still sustaining you. God is keeping you. You are not a victim, and shall never be a victim in Jesus' name. Because, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a place where the enemy is seeking to destroy. But the Lord said, I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. This pandemic and other disasters that happen should rather strengthen our faith, knowing that these two shall pass. I understand the fear. The fear of even shaking hands. The fear of even sometimes going near your wife or your husband. The fear of going near your children. The fear of even coming to church. It's all part of the arsenals or the dart that the enemy has thrown. The enemy wants to cause confusion in the kingdom of God. But he cannot do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This pandemic, like I said, has happened. It has come to resolve our resolve. In other words, let me put it this way. It has made Christians much more determined to pray more. Hallelujah. In our afflictions or situations like this pandemic situation, it made believers and the world as a whole recognize the fact that life is not about material things, but about knowing your Maker and preparing to meet Him. I remember when at the height of this coronavirus, people were not even, what happened to all the beautiful dresses, clothes that you bought? You're not even able to wear them because you are home. You're under lockdown. So the things that we thought would comfort us, make us happy, suddenly we couldn't even use them. So coronavirus has brought home the reality of life. The reality of life. This pandemic situation has made us conscious of our mortality, that we are but human. Today you may be here, tomorrow you'll be gone. Because there were so many people that people knew that they were healthy, they were walking about doing their own business. But before you realize, it's, oh, this person is gone. He was attacked by coronavirus, he's gone. Just like that, some few days. But you are alive, God has kept you. May His name be praised. Hallelujah. So the pandemic situation has made us conscious of our mortality and also highlights the difference between believers and non-believers. In other words, it has brought a stark difference between believers and non-believers. For non-believers, suffering takes away their life's purpose, which is to be happy and comfortable with the riches of the world. Non-believers, they are comfortable and happy with the riches of the world. Anything that takes that away makes them what? Uncomfortable. That's for unbelievers. In other words, they are enjoying the free, they go to beer bar, they are enjoying the wine, they are enjoying this. Once there's lockdown, when they say that restriction or they don't go out, it's like their life become what? Very, very what? Uncomfortable. That's unbelievers. But for us believers, suffering takes away life's purpose. For the non-believers, suffering what? Takes away their life purpose, which is to be what? Happy and comfortable with the rest of the world. But to us Christians or believers, it makes us more what? Christ-like as we begin to seek Him more. Because in times of trouble, we begin to seek God more. We begin to look like Christ. We begin to behave like Christ. Because we know that He's our hope. So there's a difference between non-believers and believers. So the two, we look at this coronavirus, this pandemic, in a different way, lenses, in a different approach, in a different eyes. Because them, they are lamenting over the fact that what they used to enjoy, their level of comfort has been what? Destroyed or have been attacked. But Christians, that's the time so we cry more unto God. That's how we begin to fast and grow spiritually. So in other words, there's a stark difference between the two. Hallelujah. That is why James chapter 1, said, my brethren, chapter 1, verse 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And trials here refers to what? Conflicts, sufferings, troubles, and count it by all deliverance. He said, count all joy, because something good comes out of it. So as much as we want the coronavirus to go away quickly, let us all accept the fact that it has also helped to strengthen us. It will help our resolve to draw closer to the Lord. It has helped us to begin to spread the gospel to somebody. Tell them, hey, you too can die tomorrow. See how people are dying. They are dying like falling leaves. So if you don't know Christ, receive Christ. So through this, many will come to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Church, we must trust in the Lord. We must not lean on our understanding. Let us begin to walk in His way, in His direction. Whatever God has said, let's follow it and do it. Trust that He's the only one who can save. No one can save you. The devil cannot save you. But He came to us to destroy. But Lord came to His life and more abundantly. May you continue to abide in His presence. May His grace continue to be upon your life. May you live long. May God satisfy you with long life. May you never be a victim of this coronavirus in the name of Jesus Christ. May the blood of Jesus be the gap for that person. And if you have any doubt, just take a handkerchief, whatever you have. And as I'm praying, you can use the handkerchief to touch the screen. Whether it's the phone, iPhone, whether it's iPad, laptop, just touch with the handkerchief. And if you know someone who is sick, who is not hearing this message, just Apostle Paul did. We are still living in the apostolic time. Hallelujah. And the power of God is transferable. Hallelujah. The anointing is transferable. There's impartation. And I want you to believe that God will heal you and heal those around you and heal those you have been praying for. Hallelujah. Now I want us to pray right now. Wherever you are, just bow down your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you that you always hear me when I cry unto you, God. This afternoon, God, I thank you for your healing power that you have made available to heal all those who are sick and all those who are listening to this telecast. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every pain, every sickness. I command out of your body right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release healing anointing impartation into every handkerchief that has been littered wherever you are. Let that handkerchief be anointed. As the handkerchief touches the sick person, may that person recover in the name of Jesus Christ. And those of you who are sick right now, I want to place your hand where you are sick right now. And I command that sickness, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Anybody suffering who has been infected, and wherever you are, I command the coronavirus to disappear, to go away from that body in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost, flow through them. Manifest your power to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the heat run now. now. Let them experience something like a heat going through your body right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Job, I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for those who are listening and hearing. They are healed right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. 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 I thank you, Lord, for your healing power. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And also, if there's anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ, you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the time for you to receive Him. Tomorrow it may be too late, because our God is able to turn things around for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God will save you, and He will walk with you. I want you to pray a simple prayer and receive Him. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you, Lord. I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me my sins. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you as my Lord and my personal Savior. Come into my heart, oh God, and Lord, live there. I will live for you for the rest of my life. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for receiving me. I thank you, God, for saving me. You are my Lord forever, and I will serve you forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this simple prayer, you are born again. Begin to look for a good word-based church like Word of Life Gospel Church. And begin to grow in the Lord. May God richly bless you. May God richly bless your family. May you live longer. For the Lord said, I will satisfy you long life. May God satisfy all of you long life. May no one die before their time. May you be covered by the blood. May the voice of the blood speak on your behalf wherever you go. May your enemies bow down before you in the name of Jesus. Those who shall down for, may they fall before you in the name of Jesus. Every pit that they have dug for you, for your death, may those who dug that pit be buried in that pit in the name of Jesus Christ. You are a child of the Most High God, and nothing can touch you. For God has spoken well about you. God has had your back covered. May it be well with you and your family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.